I can just kind of give you kind of my assessment of where we are on that. As you know, in 2005 and 2007, we really worked hard to get these energy laws in place that would ensure a market for homegrown biofuels. And since then, we've tried, worked really hard to defend those laws from a lot of the attacks that are made, much of which are based upon inaccurate information. The record of the RFS is clear. Since 2007, we've seen the biofuels industry create thousands of jobs. We've seen our dependence on foreign oil drop from 60% to 40%. And in South Dakota, we now produce 1 billion gallons of ethanol every year. So I don't think that the RFS should be opened up legislatively. What the EPA will likely continue to do is to try and look at these targets every year, and they're going to have to use their flexibility to adjust the targets for cellulosic and advanced biofuel targets based on what's happening out there in the market. But, there is, I think, some flexibility there for the EPA. The bill that we passed in 2007 set targets for cellulosic ethanol that are not being reached, and EPA has lowered that target, for 2013, and we may not meet that target. But ultimately, the future of this industry really revolves around advanced biofuels, getting to that next level, getting to cellulosic ethanol. And I think that we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and have now a situation where they go after corn-based ethanol, which is the platform to get to cellulosic ethanol. So we're watching it very carefully. We've met with, I think you probably all know this, but we met with the EPA here a couple of weeks ago, a number of us from ethanol-producing states, and it strikes me at least that we ought to be able to keep this industry moving forward, not undermine the progress that has been made, and still provide the flexibility that is necessary with regard to hitting the cellulosic ethanol targets in the future. And so I just hope that the EPA will work more with us, work with the industry in a way that we think is realistic and also grounded in a view, which I think is an important view, that this is an industry that's here to stay, and we ought to be looking at ways that we can continue to grow it. I hope that's the view that they adopt. And I think we'll get some relief from the meeting that we had, perhaps, with regard to the direction that they were headed for this year. But we're going to have to continue to work very closely with them and obviously with the industry to keep ethanol and its production moving forward.
So if I could follow, you seem to be optimistic that, at least if I could follow up on one of the last statements you made, I mean, that you might see some relief. What do you mean? Do you see them maybe not cutting things as significant as they proposed in November? What do you mean by that statement?
Well, I'm hoping that they will make a decision that gives back, doesn't completely reverse course, but at least moves us back to what we think is a more realistic volume level for this year. And I think that's, I think it's possible. I'm not saying it's likely, but I thought that it seemed to me at least that we gave them a lot of new information at that meeting and things that they perhaps hadn't considered. And I think that as they weigh that, that perhaps they'll come to a conclusion other than the one that they've reached already. And going back down to 13 billion gallons for an RFS, a volume level, I think is not helpful. And puts at risk a lot of the progress that we've made. Not going up above 14 billion may be too aggressive, but if there's somewhere in between that they could find that, I don't know where that is, and I'm not the expert on this, but as we made the case and made the arguments at the meeting a few weeks ago, I had hoped at least that we might see them come to a different conclusion that they had previously, and time will tell. So we're hopeful.
I guess the other question I want to, you talked about the points of why, ethanol is strong and what it means to the country and South Dakota specifically, but, there's obviously legislation that's been proposed by Senators Coburn and Feinstein and other folks as well in the House. I mean, do you see any of these actually making any real progress? I know how you feel about ethanol,
right?
But, do you see actually these things making some progress?
Well, I think that there, you know, the political equation and dynamic here in Washington has changed in the last few years, and a lot of that's been driven by sort of a complete reversal, if you will, in the environmental community. For a long time, ethanol, biofuels, was something viewed very favorable among people in the environmental community, and then all of a sudden they decided to sort of pull out their support, and we started to lose support among a very key constituency, and that led to a loss of political support here in the Congress. I think the whole food versus fuel debate has cost us some support in the Congress. But, you know, that's why I've always said that the corn-based ethanol is the platform that gets us to cellulosic ethanol. But you don't get to cellulosic, you don't get to advanced biofuels unless you've got a very robust corn-based ethanol platform. And so I there are a lot of folks who I think recognize that the future is in cellulosic ethanol, but are opposed for various reasons to corn-based ethanol production. But you can't have one without the other. And, you know, this whole thing about food versus fuel, you know, you look at the acres planted to corn today and compare it to, you know, 80 years ago. You look at corn prices today and what they were in 2007 when the new RFS was signed into law. A lot of these arguments, I think, are based upon bad information. So we're becoming much more efficient. We're getting bigger yields per bushel, more bushels per acre, bigger yields in terms of corn production in this country. Genetics are contributing significantly to that. And I think that this is an industry that's here to stay. I know that the oil industry doesn't like that, but fact of the matter is it does reduce life cycle greenhouse gas emissions by 34% over gasoline. And cellulosic is going to be, when it gets fully, you know, when we get to that point, over 100% less than gasoline in terms of life cycle greenhouse gas emissions. So it is the right decision to make for those purposes. It obviously has, I think, bears heavily on the issue of energy independence and energy security, getting less of our fuel from foreign countries. And, of course, it has tremendous economic impact in places like the Midwest. So it's a win-win. And I hope that in the end, those who are introducing bills that would repeal it will not be successful. And we're going to have to work very hard to make our arguments. But I think in the end we'll prevail.